Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water.
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food.
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans.
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than the ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flock drank from it?"
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped you on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
"I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him,
"Rabbi, eat something.
"I have food to eat that you do not know about.
"Surely no one has brought him something to eat."
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 'For months more than the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another one reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman,
It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
Thank you very much for reading. Even though we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer this morning, we have to say something about this amazing gospel. This gospel is vintage Jesus. It is awesome. First thing I want you to know is that Jesus intentionally went through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem when his disciples wanted him to avoid those folks. Those folks were enemies of the Jews, and they did not associate with each other. And so Jesus comes to the well, and there's a Samaritan, a foreigner, and a woman at the well. and he speaks to her. That was never done in public. And then he discovers all about her life. And then he offers her living water. And the disciples were beside themselves. Why are you doing this? It's vintage gospel. Jesus is breaking down the barriers, addressing an enemy who is a woman, and then offering her life. That is what the gospel is all about. So those wonderful people who are teachers of Vacation Bible School and music leaders and have the gift of writing songs wrote a song about this gospel that you just heard, and you're going to learn it and sing it with me. So it goes like this. There's a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Gush, 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 gush. Okay? All right, let's try it once. Here we go. There's a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Gush, 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 gush. That was half-hearted. Now let's really do it. All right. You can even do this and this and this. All right, here we go. There's a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. So we're going to sing a hymn, and then we'll talk about the Lord's Prayer in the context of Luther's Small Catechism. The hymn is hymn number 618, Guide Me, Ever Great Redeemer. You may be seated for this hymn. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. This morning we come to the third major part of Luther's small catechism, the Lord's Prayer. And Luther would say, now we approach God asking God to give us all we need in order to accomplish keeping the commandments and confessing our faith. I want to start with comments by Martin Luther that were made in his large catechism 13 years after he pounded the 95 theses or statements against the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, his own church, on the door of the Wittenberg Catholic Church in 1517. This is written in 1530. And listen to how stern and how serious Luther is about teaching the Lord's Prayer, or the catechism, basically, to our children. He says this: these are the most necessary parts that we must first learn to respect word for word. The children should be taught the habit of reciting them daily when they arise in the morning, when they go to their meals, and when they go to bed at night. Until, listen to this, guys, until they recite them, they should be given nothing to eat or drink. Every head of the household is also obliged to do the same with the servants, male and female, and should dismiss them if they cannot or will not learn the parts of the catechism. Under no circumstance should those people be tolerated who are so crude and unruly that they refuse to learn these things. For in these three parts, everything contained in the scriptures is comprehended in short, plain, and simple terms. Indeed, the dear fathers or apostles, or whoever they were, he said, this summed up the teachings of life, wisdom, and learning that constitute the Christian conversation, conduct, and concern. That's how serious Luther was about teaching the fundamentals of the faith to God's people. And the fundamentals on his, from his point of view, were the five parts of the catechism: Ten Commandments, Creed, the Lord's Prayer, sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, and the office of the keys, confession and forgiveness. So before we go further, let's read the Lord's Prayer, which is on an insert in your bulletin this morning. And I will read the bold print, and you follow with the light print. So the introduction to the Lord's Prayer is, what does this mean? First petition.
Hallowed be thy name.
What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in himself, but we pray in this petition that he may be holy among us also.
How is God's name hallowed?
God's name is yet holy, and his word is taught in his truth and purity, and we as the children of God live holy lives according to it. This grants us as your Father in heaven, but he
second petition. What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes of itself without our earth, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also.
How does God's kingdom come?
The kingdom of God comes when our heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live godly lives here in time and thereafter.
third petition.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
What does this mean?
The good and gracious will of God is certainly done without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done also among us.
How is God's will done?
God's will is done in grace and hinders every evil counsel and will do not let us be, nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the word of God and holy flesh, the strength and keeps us steadfast in his word and in faith until our end. This is his good and gracious will.
And the fourth petition. What does this mean?
God certainly gives to the bread without our prayer, even to all the wicked. But we pray in this petition that he would lead us to righteousness and to receive our daily bread.
What is meant by daily bread? Fifth petition.
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven will not look upon our sins, nor on their account deny our prayers. For we are not worthy of anything we ask, neither have we deserved it. But we pray that you would give us everything by grace, for we daily sin much.
The sixth petition.
And we are not our temptation.
What does this mean?
God certainly tempts no one to sin, but we pray in this petition that God will guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own flesh may not deceive us nor lead us into despair and other shameful sin and vice. And though we leave us tempted, that we may still
the seventh petition. What does this mean?
We pray in this petition as the Son of all, that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil body and soul, property and honor, and at last, when all our flesh shall come, grant us the blessed again, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself.
The conclusion.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
What does amen mean?
Amen means that we should be sure that these petitions are acceptable to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray and has promised to hear us. Amen. Amen. That is yes, yes.
It shall be so. Thank you for reading through Luther's explanations to the Lord's Prayer. In the church that Luther was part of in the Middle Ages, the church was heavy-handed. It was a difficult time. And Luther rebelled against that. And one of the issues he had with the Lord's Prayer and prayer in itself was that the Roman church was teaching at that time mostly using prayer as a way of appeasing God. So that if you went to confession and the priest heard your confession, maybe the priest would say, okay, I want you to, during this week, to show your repentance, show your sorrow for your sins by praying the Our Father 5 times and the Rosary 12 times. I'm making that up. But the point was, they were using prayer as a way to appease God, rather than coming to God as if God were our loving parent. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and we were at staying at my grandparents' home. And I got to sleep with Grandpa. Part of that was good. The best part of it was Grandpa shocked me. Grandpa turned over to me and said, "Terry, now we're going to pray to God." I had never heard about God. And Grandpa said, "Just we fold our hands and we talk to God." And he shared this very short prayer, sentence prayer, thanking God for today and whatever. I don't remember what he said. I thought Grandpa was God until Grandpa said, "Now we're going to talk to God." Here's what Luther said about prayer in those days. "Therefore, we have rightly rejected the prayers of the monks and priests who howl and growl frightfully day after day and night, but not one of them thinks of asking for the least little thing. If we gathered all the churches together with all their clergy, they would have to confess that they have never prayed wholeheartedly for as much as a drop of wine. For none of them has ever undertaken to pray out of obedience to God and faith in his promise, or out of consideration for their own needs. They only thought, at best, of doing a good work as payment to God, not willing to receive anything from him, but only to give him something. But where there is to be true prayer, there must be utter earnestness. We must feel our need, the distress that drives us and impels us to cry out. Then prayer will be spontaneous, as it should be, and no one will need to be taught how to pray for it or how to create the prayer, the proper devotion." That's from the Book of Concord, his introduction to the Large Catechism. So as you read the Lord's Prayer, you recognize that it has a structure to it. It has a beginning and an ending. The introduction is, "Our Father who art in heaven." And then it has seven petitions and a closing, the doxology, the glory to God, at the end. But the seven petitions are organized in parallel with the Ten Commandments. You probably didn't know that. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer are toward God. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." First three commandments: you shall have no other gods, don't take God's name in vain, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The first three pertain to our relationship with God. The last four petitions of the Lord's Prayer pertain to our needs and our neighbor's needs. So think of the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer as a cross. The first three relating to God, and the other relating to our brothers, our neighbors. There are two places in the New Testament where you can find the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 is one place that we hear often on Sunday morning. When we read that text, it's always been during Lent, where Jesus is criticizing the hypocrites. The disciples ask him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And then he said, "Well, don't pray like the hypocrites who stand out on the street corner and blah, 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 blah." So there was a judgment against hypocrites. In Luke, it's a shorter version of the Lord's Prayer. And then there's a parable that follows that teaches the disciples how much God wants to give us what we ask in prayer. It's a very short parable, but it teaches us how loving God the Father is. So, our job as God's people is to recognize that we have an amazing gift in Christ our Lord, who has opened for us the idea, the image of God as a loving parent. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Abba, Father. Our Father. Or, in those days, it was a patriarchal, male-dominated society. In our day, when you pray, you can say, our parent, our loving parent, our guardian. Don't have to be male. God does not have to be male. God is God. But God gave the Hebrew people three images of God's self: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's take just a couple minutes for, well, maybe 10, and then we'll have a quick communion. But I want to hear your questions about the Lord's Prayer or anything about prayer that's on your mind. As you went through reading prayers and petitions, anything come to mind you want to ask questions about? I should ask the Vukeliches if now you're not going to give your children food and drink before they memorize the catechism. By the smiles, I think that's a no. Any questions?
Sometimes you hear, put us not to the test or lead us not to the trial. Is that the same thing as,
yeah,
you know, temptation? Is it?
Lead us not into temptation. Lead us, you know, I like the contemporary version of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not, do not put us to the test. And then Luther said, God tempts no one. But in this petition, God wants us to know that he wants everything we need. How does he say it? There's another difference that I'm going to mention here.
Because he does allow things that try us, or, you know,
yeah,
put us to the...
Guard us and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our own flesh may not deceive us or lead us into despair and disbelief. Luther thought that those two sins, the greatest sins, were despair and disbelief. And it comes right out in his explanation of the sixth petition. When we put together the new hymnal, the ELW, Evangelical Lutheran Worship, we really wanted the Presbyterians to be with us on that. But when they prayed the Lord's Prayer, they used the word debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so we concluded that they would not join us because they couldn't get out of their debt. Supposed to be a joke. But that's one of the reasons they continue to use debts instead of this. What is it? Forgive us our trespasses. So, any other questions? Can any of you remember when you first prayed and what the occasion was? You don't have to share it with everybody, but can you remember some of your first prayers? And was it around a petition of gratitude, thanksgiving, or was it God help me? Could have been either one. There are many different types of prayers, petition. And your prayer life is your own, but I find myself praying in the morning as I engage activities. It's kind of a stream of consciousness prayer that I have with God. It's like not one prayer, but here we go again. Are you with me? I'm going to be doing this. God help me. I pray before coming into the sanctuary. I pray at night, thanking God. Last chance. Any other questions? Thank you for listening and engaging the Lord's Prayer. We now have covered, from Luther's point of view, the three biggies, and that is the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Now we're going to concern ourselves next week with the first of two sacraments, the sacrament of Holy Baptism, which is the hinge of Lutheran theology, then the sacrament of Holy Communion. Thanks be to God. Amen.